God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace that you have towards us, that you sent your Son, your one and only Son, God, to die upon a cross, to pay the ransom for our sin, to pay the penalty, God, that we deserve. And God, even as we looked at from your word last Sunday, that there's a judgment coming for those who do not believe, God, help us not have a hard heart towards them, but rather be soft and kind and generous to them, that they might see our love for one another, that they might examine what we say we believe, that they may desire it also, God, by your Holy Spirit. God, help us today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're in a series in 2 Thessalonians entitled Stay Grounded. For many of you, you've looked at the little symbol up there and you go, what in the world does that mean? That means the symbol for grounded in electrical system. A lot of you have asked me, that's the answer. But the basic idea behind the theme is this, is how do we not fall back? How do we not be so easily shaken? And we will find that the Thessalonians were disturbed, they were shaken, they were confused, and we as the church of God need not be that. We should stay grounded, complete, calm, and reassured. Today we're going to look at that we should stay grounded in your purpose. And so he's just talked about the judgment of hell that is coming, and then he instructs us, what should we do as the people of God instead of that? And so number one, we want to look at this key idea that our purpose is to bring him glory. This is a common phrase, to bring glory to God. The whole chief duty of man is to give glory to God and love him forever, according to the Westminster Shorter Catechism. This is a common idea that we know and understand that we are here to bring glory to God. And yet, in this passage of Scripture, I believe that there is a focus that we as the people of God really need to understand if we are going to bring glory to God by what we do and say. Let's look in our text in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 10. It says this, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you has been believed. It was believed. And so he's coming. We looked in the book of 1 Thessalonians that Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. After a long journey, the landowner returns. When a time when people did not know it, it's described as sudden. It's described as needing of anything to happen beforehand. It's described as Jesus coming in the clouds just as he went away in the clouds. It is described as us being caught up together with him and in the air and forever to be with the Lord. And that's what we call the rapture of Jesus Christ. The church is raptured up, gathered up, and to be with him. And that's what we clearly saw in 1 Thessalonians. Here in 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul is giving us a wider perspective of the things to come when Jesus Christ returns. And so here, when he comes in his glory. You recall last week we looked at the idea that he's coming with 10,000 of his angels, his mighty ones with him. This is a glorious event. He suddenly appears and comes to earth, will come to the Mount of Olives, the Scripture teaches us, and he will be glorified. So Jesus Christ, number one, is glorified at his return when he comes on that day. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7, this is the day that we find relief for the justice that needs to be done. The judgment is coming. To be glorified. What does it mean to glorify God? To give him worth, to give him honor, to esteem him highly, to communicate that great is our God and greatly to be praised. And who is he to be glorified by? It says, and for in his saints. We as the people of God, some of you believe that sainthood is something that you have to achieve, but rather we ought to see from the book of 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2 that saints are all believers in Jesus Christ, all those who believe. God has declared us righteous. God has justified us by faith and by the death of his Son. We often will go to Romans 11 verse 36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. If you could keep that one verse in your head, you will confront so many errors that are in the church of Jesus Christ. There's so much teaching that's out there that's all about me and my purpose and my focus, my self-actualization, my well-being, my nature, my goodness, my kindness. And we ought to look rather at what the Word of God absolutely declares for him, from him and through him. We understand in John chapter 1 that all things were made by him and through him. Everything that was made by Jesus Christ himself. If you're going to have the wrong view of Jesus, you will not understand that Jesus is the creator of all things in instantaneous fashion, in six-day literal creation, just as the Word of God declares. For from Him and through Him, there is nothing that we can do apart from Jesus Christ. Nothing. We can achieve nothing, do nothing, be nothing without Jesus Christ. It is through Jesus that we can do things. And it says, and to Him are all things. Everything is about Jesus Christ and bringing Him glory. And so you can work that down into a mundane verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. So whatever you eat or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. How do I give glory to God by what I drink? How do I actually do that? Do I say, rub it up, dub, thanks for the gub, you know, that these things are coming to me by the goodness and graciousness of God? Or do I consider even offering a cup of wine or alcohol to anybody, a brother who might stumble? Too often we are careless in regard to the feelings and natures and conditions of others when we do things. And so even when we eat or drink, we can be offensive, we can be discouraging, rather than bringing glory to God. Whatever you do, do I actually wake up in the morning and say, God, take every action, every thought, every behavior, every intent of mine, and say, make your joy complete in me by doing the things that you desire me to do? Everything, whatever we do. You see, sometimes we kind of try to focus it down to this and that, and I'm doing good when I'm doing such and such, but we need to understand that every single action, every single thought, whether you paint it green or black, can be done to the glory of God. And you wonder to yourself, how is that possible? Well, if I want green and my wife wants black, who's going to win? Well, obviously, I've interjected the opposite of what the Word of God says, where it says to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we need to understand whatever we do, whatever we think, whatever we choose to do in our life, we ought to bring glory to God. When Jesus Christ returns, the testimony of the people of God in what they did will bring glory to His name. Number two, we're glorified by all who believe, and to be marveled at among all who have believed. That we as the people of God are going to marvel at what God does. We see the scene in heaven where we cast down our thrones because we understand that, our crowns, excuse me, because we realize that all of these things were done by God and by His power and by His will and by His direction and by His purpose, by His predestination, by His mighty power of God. And so we look at what we did and we go, it's not mine. It's not mine. It doesn't bring me any glory. It brings God glory. There's a scene in Revelation chapter 7 that is glorious. There's a number that cannot be numbered, like the seas of the sand. It's in heaven. It's before the throne room of God, from every tribe and every nation and every people. And the question is asked, who are these? And it is those who come out of the great tribulation, a number that cannot be numbered. I want you to know that the tribulation of God is coming, 7 years of vengeance and justice being brought by God, but I want you to understand the ultimate outcome of it is that a number that cannot be numbered will come to faith in Jesus Christ. I want all of you who would doubt what we're saying today, who do not know Jesus Christ, who do not fear His coming, to write down and put a note in a bottle and bury it somewhere. And I want you to say, Pastor Mike told me that the angels will be coming. Pastor Mike told me that there will be two in a bed and one will be caught up and the other will remain. And there will be two in a field and one be caught up and the other will remain. And if you're the one that remains, I want you to dig up the Bible, I mean that note that you wrote and said, this is what was preached to you and you did not believe. Because there is a chance that even those who enter into the tribulation period will come to know Jesus Christ. That is the testimony of the Word of God, that there is still hope. For parents who are raptured, will we mourn that we have left our children behind because they do not believe? No, we will hope that God works in their life in such a way that we have left them reminders and notes and messages and on their phone of what we believe, that they might look at it and go, Dad was right. I was wrong. And a great number will come to know Jesus Christ. Oh, the grace of God, and that we as the people of God will glory in His name for that. Number three, we're glorified because of the witness for Christ, because our testimony to you was believed. that the Apostle Paul, when he went to Thessalonica and taught the gospel of God, and they came to know Jesus Christ, and their testimony went all around the province. And so Paul is saying and claiming the right to be glorified because our testimony was believed. Ultimately, there are so many things that distract our attention from the kingdom of God, and what we need to focus on is the gospel of God, that we win people to God because of what we declare. We need to be a people who invite, not necessarily to church, to your house, to a barbecue, to conversation, at Starbucks, wherever. Invite people into a conversation that they might have the opportunity to believe. In Matthew 5 and verse 44, it says this, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous." You know, I know that we sometimes, as, can I say this, conservative politically? Can I say those words and be accepted for that? Can we understand that we get fearful of all of the policies that get passed that are contrary to the will of God? We can get to the place where we are frustrated, that we would just say, "I am moving." Amen? There is another wave of people moving out of our state. And yet, more people are coming here, according to the statistics. More people who do not know God. More people who need the witness. And I'm going to tell you, if you are here and remain, somebody has to preach in Nineveh. Somebody has to declare. Again, I'm eventually going to go to somewhere more politically gracious. You know, I just want to retire in peace. I'm not faulting you for that, but I want you to know that as long as we're here assembled for the purposes of God, that we would center on the gospel of God and love those who we are irritated by. And to a degree, we are fearful of. Because they can do things that hurt us. Hurt our money. Can I say that again? Hurt our money. Okay, take our money. I mean, think about these things, because what motivates us is not the love of God, it's the fear of man. It's the fear of man. And the apostle said, "What can man do to me?" And Jesus said, "Fear not the one who can take life and body, but the one who can condemn the soul to hell." 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, "He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." We'll look at that next week, but I had to throw it in here because we get to share in the glory of God by what God has done in us, by what we have done in the kingdom of God, that we have taken literally the idea that whatever I do in word or deed, I try to do all to the glory of God, and I try to keep in my mind that all things are to Him and from Him and for Him. Everything. Boy, that just reorients your life, does it not? Does it not help you stay grounded? That we are to bring God glory in all things. We get emotionally unstable, just like the Thessalonians. I've had those days, I know you have as well, where you go, "Lord, what are you doing? And why are you doing it? And how come you're doing it to me?" And we have all these questions. And by faith, I would just say, bring glory to God in all things. Bring glory to God in all things. One of my friends who died many years ago here at Avondale Bible Church, his name was John, he said, "Don't waste your cancer." It was a beautiful article that said, "Don't waste your cancer." And he chose to make that his life verse as he passed. And so every person he talked to in the hospital that came to visit him, his doctors, his nurses, his family, his relatives, he said, "You know what? This is for God's grace and by God's glory. And I'm looking forward to a better life." Number two, our purpose is to bring God glory, but our purpose is to do good. I hope you remember that from 1 Thessalonians, to do good. Christians ought to be good people who do good. The text says, "To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of His calling, and He may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by His power." Boy, there's a verse two, if I could just get you to absorb that. Number one, I want you to see something very familiar within the Word of God, that good is achieved through prayer. Isn't that clearly what it says? To this end, if this be the case, if we are to bring glory to God in all things and in every activity we do, if this is what is to happen, should we not? To this end, we always pray. That's something he repeated in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Pray without ceasing. See, you guys know the Word of God. And I love that about you all. It's fun to preach because you know it. And it's fun to talk about it because we are concerned about it. But to this end, we always pray and we're always doing it without ceasing. And what should we pray? For you, that God may make you worthy of his calling. You see, we are called out of darkness into his unapproachable light. Called to darkness, called out of darkness by his calling. In many ways, this is answering to the idea that we are called of God to the gospel of God. And the word call means to beseech or to invite, to earnestly say, hey, please come. Come, come and hear, come and see. It's an invitation, and God gives us the invitation. God calls us to his heavenly light. But in many other ways, the text is saying, but calls us to live in a manner worthy of that calling. You recall last week, we looked at the idea that suffering was evidence that you are part of the kingdom of God. Some of you said, I've never suffered. And I said, is that really true? Have you just not been sensitive to it? We suffer the rejection of, according to Jesus. He said, I didn't come to make peace. I came to bring division. And so we suffer the division we have in our own households. We suffer in the Church of Jesus Christ. We have differing opinions, and some leave because they don't want you to teach that idea anymore. And so we have those separations and those, if I may, rejections that happen. Sometimes we have it in the community where we get resistance to what we are doing. I think there is a day coming where there will be more protests against churches, more on-site signs being waved. John MacArthur and his church has that or had that constantly, that the people would circle out in front of the doors of the church and hand out flyers that were describing him in evil fashions. And, you know, that'd be tough week in and week out, having to hire gun-armed security to keep the church safe. Again, where am I? To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling. The Apostle Paul described himself as called to be an apostle. I want you to kind of consider that, because he often says, think about me, do what I do, imitate what I do, think about what I'm saying, put this into practice. And so he said, I'm called to be an apostle. What was that? God specifically called him out to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, not to Jerusalem, not to the Jews, but to the Greeks. And so he was the apostle to the Greeks, and he described his calling in that fashion. I would like to say that after 31 years, I was called to the pastorate at Avondale Bible Church. I think that's still true today. What would you say? I am called to what? I am called to be an encourager, to lift up the kingdom of God. I am called to be a servant of God, willing and able to serve at any moment. There are people in this church that I almost hate to call because I know they're going to say, sure, right now, and when can I get to it? And I love those kind of people, but I hate to call them because I don't want to put an overburden on them. But there are some of you who are just, yes, yes, give me the opportunity. I'll do it. Send me. Here I am. I love it. That's what the church ought to be, to walk in a worthy manner. But again, what are you called to do? You could go to passages like 1 Corinthians. You could go to Romans where it talks about the gifts that we have. But all of us are given gifts. Sometimes they're underutilized. Sometimes we don't know what they are. I hope that you can say, I am blank. I am an encourager. I am a servant. I am a giver. I'm an administrator. I am a person firmly planted in the kingdom of God to do his purpose. So good, number one, is achieved through prayer. I would like you, as the in life groups this week, to specifically pray for others and say, God, show them their calling. Right? That's what Paul's doing. Show them their calling. See how they fit in. Pray that they fit into this body of believers. Right? Because God is uniting us together. From a social construct standpoint, it is hard to walk through the back doors and make friends. I mean, we see each other about a half hour a week, and, you know, we get a few conversations. I love the fact that we like to talk in the lobby, but again, that's a far cry from relationship. Pray specifically that we, as the people of God, learn what our gifting is and do it often when prompted and offer voluntarily. Pray for that. Number two, good is achieved through purpose. Good is achieved through purpose. The text says, and may fulfill every resolve of good. to fill up to a full measure. You know my favorite verse, I have come that they may have life and life to the full. I've given you the root beer challenge to say, you know what, this is what it looks like for God to work in me, to willing to act according to his good purpose, like ice cream and root beer, it flows over the top. And so this text that is that and may fulfill every resolve for good, everything that pleases, everything that is pleasurable, benevolent. You know, the word here, resolve for good, is the same one translated in Romans 10, verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer of God to them is that they may be saved. This was the apostle's heart's desire. What is your heart's desire? You know, everybody knows the little symbol. Everybody, you know, give the heart signal. You know, we just love, yeah, how much? What is your heart's desire in regard to the kingdom of God? My heart's desire, again, for the encourager is to go into people's lives and to make them feel welcome and worthy and encouraged, delighted to continue to serve. Romans 8, 28, we know what God's purpose is, and we know that those who love God, that who love God, all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. This is a different word than desire. It is the word to plan or to purpose. But it is something that if we are people who think about good things, it will never go into process until we plan certain things, until we make plans and put them into practice. Again, working together for good, again, the term good is very similar in the Greek language, but it is good and pleasant, what is beneficial. Galatians 6:10 would add to this thought of goodness. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are the household of faith. You know, we have a care ministry here at Avenue Bible Church, and you can go to the webpage, our app center, and you can say, join the team. You'll get a little response from me in regard to that. And we have a little handbook, and what do? We offer rides to the hospital. Why are rides to the hospital important? Well, number one, sometimes I can't drive myself home, right? But number two, it's to work in people's lives when they are hurting, when they're scared, when they're uncertain about what's to come. And to have a believer that will say, I'll take you to the hospital. I'll take you to that appointment. And so you can sign up for that. You've heard the phrase, meal trains. I didn't know what a meal train is until I saw it happen. I thought, well, that's pretty cool. But, you know, the train comes by and you can just hang your name on one of the tracks or one of the carts and you can sign up for a particular day. When do we do that? We do that when people do suffer deeply, like they've gone to the hospital, they're recovering at home. When babies are born, that's a little more fun. When somebody passes away. You know, the testimony that I get to hear about Avondale Bible Church is that they have said, this church is so loving and so caring and so amazing and so wonderful. I'm glad I'm a part of Avondale Bible Church. They got a meal train. And what they got with that was not just people dumping food on the counter. It was people who came into their lives and said, I love you, I care about you, and I hurt with you. Sometimes Heidi and I, we drive around the community and we see those that have gone before us. So-and-so lived there, and so-and-so lived there, and so that's one of the, I'm going to say the bad things of being a pastor a long time, is there's a lot of memory in my head in regard to those who have gone before us. And of course, we have that great and blessed hope. But you know what? There are those who are alive and are remaining that it's been 5 years and 10 years and 15 years since their loved one went. And our care ministry seeks to do that as well. So I implore you, sign up. You're not going to be assigned. You will always be given the freedom to accept. But again, as we think about these kinds of ministries, we need to understand this is God working in us for a specific purpose. As we have opportunity, let us do good, especially to the household of faith. And so I want you to see that the Word of God is teaching us in Galatians 6:10, not just to us, but to the whole world. Have you ever done something nice, good, kind for a neighbor of any time? I mean, think about it. Have I ever? And should have I? And we oftentimes, we see this instruction and we know it's there, but do we ever do anything about it? One of the things that we do is the Acres of Diamonds, doing good. They're not believers. We want them to become believers. They'll sit in their lessons and they'll hear the gospel of God. Some are believers, but again, we're trying to do good to all men. according to a good plan, a measured plan, a successful plan. Not just dumping money to the homeless, but trying to get moms with kids out of hard situations and stable in life. Again, do good to a neighbor. What could you just do to a neighbor? Could you actually offer just to help? Hey, you know what? If you ever need to move anything, just call me. I've done that. Sometimes they actually take you up on it. Can I feed your horse when you're gone? Your dog, your cat, your whatever. Can I do that? We could just do little things that are a kindness. If you find out they're in the hospital, can you? Don't bring flowers. They don't want you to bring flowers to the hospital anymore. But to their home, hey, I've been praying for you. Number three, and I'm sorry, I'm running out of time. God, good is achieved through power. The text says, and every work of faith by his power. For it is God who is at work in you to will and to work according to his good pleasure. Philippians 2, verse 13. To will, to work on your heart and your motivation of your mind and your soul. To, in the inside man, say, yes, I'll do it. It's the person who says, yes, Lord, send me. I will do it. Give me the opportunity. It is the desire to do it. You know, when I look at those of you who work in Awana, I go, oh, praise Jesus Christ, right? Because here are individuals who are motivated to be kind and teach the youngest of our population the Word of God. And so we're going to magnify that next week when we bring these little guys up. We say, you know what, these have been born within our midst in the last couple of years. And so we're going to celebrate our kids. And so there's the will in the inside to do something that is good for them. Again, when I want to promote the Awana program. How then shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to the scriptures? With my whole mind have I sought thee. Let me not wander thy, do we know it? The commandments of God. How do our kids change? By getting the Word of God inside them so that it changes them and transforms them as they're obedient to what God declares. And so, Philippians 1:6, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to say that God is an organized God. God is a disciplined God. God is a sovereign God. God is a purposeful God. And so he is not wishy-washy with you. He is not changing the focus with you. In fact, you ought to be able to look backwards and say, where have I been and what have I done? And I want you to ask that question this week. Where have I been and what have I done? Sometimes it's a little curvy, but hopefully it gets straighter and straighter as you are in the kingdom of God, where you know who you are in Jesus Christ. He who began a good work will complete it. This is a work of God. God is at work in your heart. And the apostle is saying, you can't bring glory to God unless you do good, and you can't do good until you desire it with all your heart and put it into practice. So I had to ask a few questions. What do I desire to do? You know, sometimes it happens like this. Someone will come to me and say, well, we need to have this kind of ministry. And I said, well, Bryn, that sounds great. And Bryn is going to help us organize this whole event for next Sunday. And what a delight for someone to say, I desire to do this. And I say, that's awesome. God is putting upon you the things of God and that we should look at and consider. And so there are so many of you whose desire is to do something and you do it. It's fabulous. According to Romans 12, can I label that as a gift? Can I label that as a gift? Is it an administrative gift? Is it an encouragement gift? Is it a teaching gift? Well, I don't know. But Lynn's working on it. Let me ask you another one. And if there are encouragers in the Church of Jesus Christ, they should have talked to you. And so you could ask the question, what have I been encouraged to do? Right? What have I been encouraged to do? Just coaxed, encouraged, benefited. Have anyone praised me for my behavior? The Apostle Paul says, honor such people as this. And so we ought to be able to look back and say, yeah, that person said this, and that person said that, and that person said such and such. And so we take that to heart. You know, again, good is the opposite. Remember, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15, remember, not evil for evil, but always seeking to do good. It's a mindset that we would put into practice some kind of good, and it is accomplished through prayer, through purpose, and through the power of God as it works within your life. Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things who strengthens me. You know, God may be calling you to a big ministry. You're afraid of it, scared of it. But I'm telling you, if God is at work in you, you can do it according to his might and his strength and his power. And lastly today, I'm over time, but I don't care. Purpose is given according to the grace of God. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 12, it says this, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him and according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, grace of God is magnified by good. It says that the name of Jesus might be glorified because of what they did, because of what the church did. Historically, this has always been the case. When the church of God gets involved in the kingdom of God, in the social things of life, and does good according to the word of God, that the people of this world say, what in the world is going on? When our marriages succeed and we actually love one another, when our kids are disciplined and grow up to be lawful-minded citizens, when we are not causing revolt, we are not causing discouragement or criticism, we are not angry or hateful, we are good people. And again, good, none is good. We know that according to the word of God, but we are good when we do the things that God has commanded to do good, when we display those in our lives. Look at the text, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. There's our theme again, in you and you in him. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. And so when I'm in fellowship with him, I have this grace. 1 Corinthians 15:10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Again, I can take no honor for myself in terms of what I accomplished, because what I am by the grace of God. What you are by the grace of God. You are who God has made you to be. You know, sometimes we overemphasize our unique purpose. And there will be speakers who will tell you, you and only you can do this little portion of something or such. And I will say this, God is a purposeful God. And so God is a God who is at work in you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Does not the word of God, Psalm 139, teach us that? You are uniquely gifted by God, whether that be administration or encouragement or service. And you are, because we know the word of God, intently given the circumstances that you are in. And so your life, by God's design and by God's gifting and by God's circumstance, is molding your life to have a clear individual identity. There are many people who can preach. And so it's not unique, but it is specific to Avondale Bible Church and Woodinville, Washington, and the world that we can impact from here. And so lastly, the grace of God is measured by kindness according to the grace that God gives us. You know what is beautiful about God? He gives you the second chance. You know what's beautiful about God? He gives you the third chance. You know what's beautiful about God? No matter if my sins are like scarlet, he washes me white as snow. Sometimes we leave ministries, we walk away, we stop serving. It's time to acknowledge I have sinned, I have walked away from the things of God, I have not made these things the passion of my life. God, direct my steps back to righteousness. Direct me to do good. Make me a person that reflects your glory in all things. 1 Peter 5, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus himself will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And God's people said, amen. God, Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful text that helps us stay grounded in what you've made us to be, in what you want us to do until you come. So God help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.